In the course of getting my doctor's degree in psychology, I had a good experience with a professor of mine, Professor Michael Hakim, and he helped me to see that the choice I had made, clinical psychology, had some limits to it. First of all, he showed me that the way that psychologists and psychiatrists diagnose people didn't have any scientific research to document that these words that they use could be scientifically diagnosed. And he also showed me that by looking at the problem of why are people violent as an illness, that it overlooks how the structures of our society contribute to people behaving in this way. And he helped me to see that by diagnosing people as mentally ill and believing that the violence was a cause of mental illness, that we were then taking the focus away from the education that the structures provided, which create the violence. I learned that after I had already gone just about to the point of graduation with a doctor's degree. So it was quite upsetting, having spent about 8 years at the university learning this profession, and then just as I was about to graduate, finding out from this professor the limitations of that. So when I graduated, I decided to go into private practice and try to help people transform their violence. But I found that the tools that I had learned to do this with, the tools of psychoanalytic therapy and other psychological trainings which were in current at the time, the first thing I found, it didn't work very well, in the sense that it took a long time and I didn't really see any major transformations occurring in the people. Yes, they seemed to like coming in and have somebody listen to them, but I wasn't really seeing any major changes occurring in their lives. So I decided to start off with a couple of questions different than I had been encouraged to ask myself in the course of my training in psychology. Instead of diagnosing what it was in people that's wrong with them that makes them violent and trying to cure that, I decided to start with a different question. How were we meant to live? Now, where do you find out this information? Well, for about a year, I studied comparative religions, believing that the religions were each trying to define this question, how were we meant to live, and to let us know this. So, through readings and taking some courses, I came to a conclusion after reading about comparative religions that they all were saying pretty much the same thing, that compassion is how we were meant to live, contributing to one another's well-being willingly, out of the joy that comes naturally when we exercise our power in the service of contributing to people's well-being. They each said this perhaps in a different way, but I got this same message that our nature as human beings is to exercise our enormous power in the service of life, to enrich life in ourselves and others. Realizing this and seeing that this was the core message in all of the religions that I studied, an obvious question came to me. If we seem to all agree on this subject, that compassionate giving is what we human beings are meant to be, I wondered why we're not doing it. And then I started to ask myself the question, what skills are necessary to live compassionately? And then I saw that the skills that seemed to be necessary to live compassionately were quite different than the skills that we were taught. And then when I asked myself, why is that? Then the professor that I mentioned's words came to me, that we were educated to contribute to the structures we were living in, and these structures are structures in which people claim to be superiors and know what's right for others and to impose what they believe is right on the others. And that way of living requires a certain way of thinking, communicating, and using power. And I saw that that was the problem, that what created violence was a certain way of thinking, a certain language, and a certain way of using power. But then I asked myself, well, what are the skills that are necessary to live in harmony with compassionate giving? What kind of language is necessary? What kind of communication skills are necessary? What kind of thinking supports it? And what kinds of means of influence support it? And where do you find that information? Because it wasn't too clear as I was reading about the comparative religions how specifically we were meant to behave in order to live in harmony with compassionate giving. So what I decided to do was then do a different kind of research to observe the people that I respected the most, who seemed the most compassionate, who seemed to enjoy giving to others. And I tried to see how were they different than the people who seemed to enjoy criticizing, blaming, attacking others. And it was through studying these people, also studying some research in psychology that tried to identify what characteristics of development contribute to people's behaving in a compassionate way, I put together from these sources a process that seemed to me to summarize how we were meant to live and the skills that were necessary to do this. And that's how nonviolent communication evolved, from the research that I did to identify what kind of human development is necessary for us to live compassionately.